Hello, everybody, and welcome to Lee and Haley Overtime, the podcast brought to you by Damiano Pizza, Pasta, Beer, Bourbon, all of the things that make the great Commonwealth of Kentucky special, if not America itself.
That's right.
Located at 503 South Upper Street in Lexington, Kentucky. It's across from the Target that is on campus. Whether you're a student, whether you're an alum, whether you're a veteran, whether you're a teacher, a first responder, or a derelict like myself.
They serve equal opportunity customer experience.
Right now, I am, because I ordered this. Look at that. Look at
that. Guys, photo. I only wish you could see it.
I'm showing
the
her.
Penne alla vodka.
Yeah, the vodka penne.
Vodka penne, excuse me.
The vodka penne, which I had the blackened chicken thrown on top. Oh my gosh, I'm going to enjoy that again tonight because it was so huge in proportion that I said, this is the man for me. So I will be eating that again tonight.
Yes, you got it. It looked so delicious.
And you got the margarita.
No.
The margarita.
No, we're not doing this again. I got the, you guys know, Lee likes to bring it up. I got the margarita pizza, add pepperoni. Margarita.
And your name, say it with the music. Margarita.
No, it's margarita.
Margarita.
No, that's a completely different word. Speaking of language, Lee, what is the definition of straddle?
Well, I believe that's where you put someone or something between your legs, betwixt your legs.
Guys, okay, so we went to lunch, a team lunch, right before we recorded this podcast, and I got hysterical, but nothing compared to our sweet photographer, editor Kelly. She got so hysterical laughing about something. We'd moved on three or four topics into the future, and she was still laughing so hard. Her face was beet red. She had tears. She just kept saying, my stomach hurts from laughing. And Lee just finally said, poor Kelly. Mm-hmm. Lee, we start discussing how the topic came up, and there's so much we could delve into here. One, which was about temperature in your bedroom when you sleep. Like, Nikita was saying she likes to be warm. You said you like to be warm. Kelly does, too. Talking about people that like to keep it freezing cold so you're warm under the covers. Mm-hmm. I like kind of a 67, 68 with lots of covers.
Right.
So we start talking about that. Then we delve into pillows. What kind of pillows do you like?
Right.
What kind of, how many pillows are too much? Then Lee says, I only like one pillow. Well, sometimes, you know, the full length pillow, like the body pillow that stretches across the top of your bed. Sometimes I'll grab that and straddle that if I'm feeling pregnant.
If I feel like a pregnant lady. Right.
But you said straddle.
What did you do?
No, Lee, but then what, Matt, we knew, just knowing you, we all knew you didn't know what you were talking about.
I knew exactly what I was talking about.
What did you mean when you said you straddle the full length body pillow?
Straddle. Hug, straddle. Nope. When you throw a leg over something, what are you doing?
Okay. To straddle is to sit or stand with one leg on either side of. Quote, he turned the chair around and straddled it. An act of sitting or standing with one's legs wide apart. Sideways. What position are you in when you ride a horse? Not you, but others.
Straddling.
A straddle. So when you said that.
Now let's just take that angle of me. That is vertical on the horse, but let's both of us lay down. Now what has happened? I'm still straddling the horse. But I'm
Wait,
on
now
the...
you're laying in bed with a horse?
Well, it doesn't matter what it is.
Just the Godfather.
It could be a horse. It could be a pillow. I prefer Gal Gadot, but it could be anything.
Sure.
So now we're laying on our side.
But that's not
that's straddling.
No.
Oh, what do you call it then?
That I would say I lay on my side. I've got the pillow between my legs and my head on it. It's
What's
more,
the term? Straddle.
No, but so Kelly and I get hysterical because I envision you with the body pillow laid down the middle of your bed and you're
naked, butt cheeks in the air.
Well, I didn't think that much.
Yes,
Don't show
you did.
Kelly. She'll die of a giggling.
I saw horse. The look in your eye.
Oh, yeah.
As you imagine my yep. glorious buttocks.
Yes. Kelly and I both, we both were like, we are overcome.
Not Kelly, don't do that to that poor young woman. You and your dark seediness.
Yes.
Of course, you're a lady of the night, as we know. You're a woman of...
And I thought, there's a client.
You're a woman of experience. That's right. An extra $5 to straddle.
Oh no, so we got hysterical because Lisa and I straddle a pillow. So all of us knowing straddle, we think he's... laying basically face down on this body pillow, but the rest of it is between your legs and you're kind of on your knees in the bed. And so then we laugh and move on. Kelly could not move on and was just dying laughing.
But there is a term. It's not what you just gave a descriptor. What's the term for hugging something on the side? A side hug where you put your leg over top.
What's it called when you...
Because that is a good way to sleep.
Lay on your side. Oh, I'm a side sleeper.
But if you throw a leg up over
pillow
top, that makes it even better, I between,
believe. I'm Googling this. What is it that you're doing?
I'm looking at the future.
Sleeping on your side with a pillow between your legs is called using a knee pillow.
Yeah, but what's the term? A spoon? Is it spoon?
Spooning spoon. Is where there's a person.
But spoon, you don't throw a leg over. That, of course, is forking.
Oh, my God. I don't see an actual phrase or word calling it that, but it's just saying sporking. Sleeping on your side with a pillow between your
well,
legs.
Well, we all know it's straddling.
No, Lee, straddling is different. Anyway, so right into us, everyone.
And explain to me the difference, all right? Let's Seabiscuit is between my legs.
Do you lay on your side on top of Seabiscuit, who is standing?
Seabiscuit is between my legs. But that is straddling. That man is straddling that horse. Now, nothing changes other than we're on our side now. One leg, my left leg is under Seabiscuit. My right leg is on the top of Seabiscuit.
Lee, your right leg is broken.
And I'm hugging Seabiscuit.
Whichever leg is underneath, Lee, it's broken. It is shattered. Horses weigh more than you think.
So what am I doing now? Because I haven't changed position and neither did Seabiscuit.
You're bleeding
it's
out.
It's just that we're laying on our side. It's straddling. So I am correct. It's a straddle. I don't know why you're getting such a giggle out of it.
Why must you always, in part of your great argument, it must be that you're in bed with a horse?
Oh, you think that's the way I close every argument? And finally, ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
Now, in this discussion, you keep trying to act like I'm crazy. You're the one who's describing yourself every time as in bed.
What else do you want me to straddle that doesn't sound degenerate?
Your body pillow. The whole thing that started.
Well, first of all, I wouldn't straddle a body pillow vertically. That is sick. But a horse, of course, I would.
Okay, Dr. Seuss. But a horse, of course. Yes. I am crying. I got Kelly's sickness. Oh, my gosh, I've not laughed this hard in so long.
I don't know why you're making this such an issue, as if I've got a problem. I straddle a pillow at night. You act as if I should be looked at by the Hayes Committee from Hollywood. That's too much. You know that there's a report Lee Cruz is straddling a pillow. We've got to shut him down.
That pillow's name is American Pharoah.
Let's get Senator McCarthy over there and make sure he's not doing that in front of the children.
Okay, so when you go to sleep at night,
mm-hmm. Not all the time, but occasionally the night is right and the moon is lit. And I bring that big decorative pillow I got that's almost like 4 feet in length.
Yeah.
And it eases my back pain, okay. If I have any, or just feels more comfortable to throw a leg over the top of it, straddle it.
Okay. All right. Anyway, welcome to the show, everyone. Lee, how are you?
Well, I'm all right. I don't know why I have to.
What do you have to do?
Just to endure my workspace. I have to run the gauntlet of an indictment from you and the employees who try to make me feel as if I am some degenerate who's done something wrong when I properly gave a descriptor that fits what I've talked about. There is no other term than hugging a pillow with a leg over the top called straddling. But you guys are shushing me and shooing children out of the room like I've done something wrong, and I haven't. We all straddle pillows on occasion. But you gaslight me Well, you're over there just giggling like an idiot.
I was ready to move on.
Well, how would you like it if you just walked into work and there was a committee to try to make you feel as if you are a pariah on society? And the most innocent thing in the world, I'm alone in bed. And all I've done is throw a leg over a pillow.
No.
And you have talked about this for 2 hours because I used the proper term straddle.
You did not use the proper
term. That is the proper term. We have determined it. It is clear now. It is over. You've lost this case. God.
You win.
Thank you. I've been acquitted.
Yeah, no, you win.
This witch hunt.
There was no witch hunt. The Gaslighter of the Year award goes to you.
It is you.
Because you used straddle incorrectly.
You know, when I said, can I just
out,
say this?
And then you
let me
make
just
it,
say
then,
this.
No, please let me say something.
I want to say this. When I made the original statement, I knew exactly what I was saying. And you know what? The word to bring jollies to people was maternity. That was, or pregnancy. Whatever I said, it was either maternity or pregnant. That was,
oh my God.
That was the conflation that I brought to the conversation. I'll throw that in to get you girls a little laugh. Because obviously I can't get pregnant. I'm a man. I don't have ovaries. I have testicles. And so I thought, well, here's what I'll do. Let me throw that in. And you know what? Never brought up again. Nobody cared. We doubled down and drilled down with a tweezer on the word straddle. That was the controversy. That's what I've been dealing with for the past 2 hours, is the word straddle. Why? God.
I fear that we will never escape this. I tried to get out of it.
Well, how would you like to be me for a minute? For 2 hours, you have run through the halls of our office telling people what I've done and the crime I've committed about using the word straddle in the wrong way.
And that's not that big of a deal. What if you'd listen and stop being such a self-conscious, testicle-bearing man? You'd see that we just laughed at the mental picture it created because you're incorrect use of the word, which is
see,
fine.
There we go. No, you're trying to convict me. And it is not the wrong word. It is the only word to use when you're laying side by side with an object or a creature.
Or a horse.
A horse. And you throw a leg over it. What else is there? I think both of us are pretty good when it comes to the lexicon of the English language, and there is no other word to cover it. You act as if I am beyond the pale of stupidity.
No, I didn't. If anything, I'm thanking you because I haven't laughed this hard. Oh, it's so long, and so you used it incorrectly. And so because of that, we got a mental picture of that you're laying like a baby with their butt in the air at 9 every night, and that made
now
me
see,
laugh.
See, that tells more about you than me.
It made Kelly and I laugh. And
well, of course you put that in that poor child's head.
That baby.
That innocent baby. You threw that in there. Why would you do that to her?
Well, what?
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for listening. I tried to move on 10 minutes ago, and you said, how would you like it? What are you doing, texting your therapist?
No, I'm looking at our questions that we're getting.
Okay.
By the way, I sent you some. Our listeners out there have sent us a couple of questions.
Yeah, we got a couple of fun questions.
Yeah, we don't have to do it now.
Will not do it now.
But I thank you. And if you would like for us to cover a topic or answer a question, you can do so at ideas@leeandhaley.com.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
May we, with permission, Your Honor, move on to something else?
I would love to move on to anything else.
I'm sorry.
Than to be pinned into this hell that you've locked me into.
Made us laugh, and it was so funny.
Yeah, but not...
Not because you're stupid, because your gentle misuse of the word, not a big deal, Lee, not a big deal, gave us a mental picture that was so hilarious. So thank you. That's
it. Did you not understand?
You can't be wrong. That's your thing.
How infuriating it is. The gentle misuse word was pregnancy.
No one cared about. You're mad that you didn't make us laugh. Oh, you're mad that we didn't laugh at the correct time.
Instead,
we're bad audience members.
Laughed at the word straddle, which is perfectly appropriate. I was brought up on the wrong charge, my friend.
Okay. We're sorry.
Anyway, what do you want to talk about?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. When's the last time you really straddled something?
It's been a while. I like the way Mark Pope straddled Duke.
Hey!
Now, for us, that game was last night.
That's right. But when this episode comes out, that'll have been 2 nights ago. But yes, we all stayed up on the Lee and Haley team, and we all watched UK beat Duke men's basketball team for the first time in 9 years.
Now, that little boy that wears the hoodies all the time, what's his name? Matt Jones?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He actually said something quite accurate, I believe, okay. When he said, for Kentucky fans, this is a complete... 180 inverse what we have been accustomed to in the past, specifically 5-6 years, mm-hmm. is Kentucky with the highly touted recruiting class and all of them, the starters, bound to be lottery picks in the NBA, more than likely going to stay 1 year, would go play a team that was laden with senior leadership that is not being talked about in the NBA narrative. And those guys, those old guys, and it was interesting that Duke's oldest player was still younger than our youngest mm-hmm, player. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And those guys did not get rattled. They stayed the course, and you watched Duke's youth start to unravel late in the game when Kentucky got to tie or lead those guys. Mm-hmm. And that's what Duke experienced is what we lived with for the past 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was refreshing to watch our guys fight, battle, use grit, get through it, and be determined to win as a cohesive unit.
It was amazing. It felt like a March Madness game. Like the level of excitement as a fan, I felt like this game means everything.
Well, and it did to this fan base.
It did. I feel like it did. It was so exciting.
Everybody is all in now. There's not a fan that's doubting Mark Pope. Mm-mm. And so they want him to do well because they care about him. They already cared about him.
He's a homeboy.
Yes, he's one of ours, and he's a guy that, you know, got us a banner. And we know that his affinity for the program. So everybody's rooting. They want him to do well. Honestly, I said to my buddy with about 2 minutes left, I said, I don't care how this game ends now. I really don't. They've proven they can play with anybody.
Yep.
They proved it.
Yeah.
So this is everything I needed to see. Mm-hmm. Because we had played well, really well. But, you know, are those teams that good? The teams, the Bucknells and the programs that we'd played earlier, who knows? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Time will tell, but we know Duke is. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How about that?
It was amazing.
That was fun. I was at a sports bar, and not a person was sitting. They all stood.
Everybody in the whole place.
With the last
and there were table.
Minute
yeah,
and like, jumping around. And boy, do we need that after, you know, a lackadaisical football season. And
yeah, it's and, we need and, something to cheer for.
And really, I mean, Kentucky's pride and joy is basketball, obviously, and two – last year especially, two early exits in the SEC tournament, and then, of course, in the NCAA tournament. Good God, we needed something.
A bright spot.
And we got it.
Yeah.
And we got it with energy and positivity. Not negativity, positivity that Coach Pope brings. I saw a shirt that like three ladies were wearing in the stands.
Jesus is my savior and Pope is my coach. Yeah. I saw it and I was like, oh. Yeah, it's the excitement that it's like, it's now it's a requited excitement. I'm not sure if I'm using that correctly, but you know, it felt unrequited for several years for UK fans. We got this excitement going and so pumped and everything's going to be wonderful. We got this great class and blah, 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 crash and burn. Well, now it's like the wholeness, the full circle has come. Fans are as excited and they're getting the game that they came to watch. It's happening. We're getting the win. We're getting the grit. We're getting the fire and the excitement and just, oh, it was just amazing.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I'm a Calipari fan personally.
Yeah.
I think he's a really decent human being.
Absolutely.
And he has always been more than kind to me when I have chatted with him on the few occasions that we've met and talked. And I love the guy. I think he's a good guy. But I felt like because of the crazy pressure he was under, when he did have success, and I'm talking in the past 4 or 5 years, after COVID, things took a turn. It felt like when he did have success, it was to spite fans. Like, see, I told you. Where right now, and who knows what happens in the future, but right now with Coach, it's like we're part of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Pope isn't trying to prove us wrong. He's trying to prove us right.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels different the moment.
I wish nothing
but success for Calipari in Arkansas, as long as it doesn't come against Kentucky's, you know, expense. Go. Do well. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, they're already starting to experience everything we did.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good. Yeah, you don't want to wish ill will on anyone. But yeah, I hope they do well, but I hope UK does better. And last night was just such a breath of fresh air.
So
absolutely.
Fun.
There is a lot of joy. There is a lot of excitement. And there is a lot of camaraderie.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and for a basketball.
And just a lot of height. I am still amazed at how tall Coach Pope is.
Yeah.
It's just
weird.
So funny.
The coach is the tallest guy on the team.
It is. It is so funny. Like, even last night when they were doing, you know, the handshake.
I feel like I'm watching
Cooper.
My nephew's team. You know, he's an eighth grader at Clark County, and he's doing well.
Yeah, and then
that's
coach.
That's what it looks like. And everybody, he's talking down to the kids the entire time.
Because Coach Pope is what, 6'10", 6'9"?
Yeah, he's 6'10", 6'11", something like that.
Something absolutely insane. And everybody was talking about the height of Cooper, is it Flag?
Yeah.
For Duke. And then in the screenshots that were posted on ESPN and all this stuff of Coach Pope, you know, doing the handshake with all the Duke players, he's taller than their tallest player. And it's just, you're so not used to seeing that. And it was just so funny. It's like, he's like, way to go, little fella.
Yeah.
Which that kid is 17 years old.
No, he's really
I mean,
good.
That is wild.
And he's going to make a ton of money if he's not already.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure he is. But anyway, yeah.
But from a basketball junkie standpoint, what I really relished last night was at halftime adjustments.
Yeah.
We
not just like,
out,
oh, I got to stick with my plan.
Right.
It was totally
we
different.
We came out and we adjusted and we did things differently. And what a world of difference. Mm-hmm. That's Tubby Smith, by the way, too.
Yeah.
Tubby was brilliant at that, making adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why we were the comeback cats, because of Tubby.
Yeah.
Brilliant X's and O's. Mm-hmm. And Pope is that same pedigree using Patino's framework. It's just, I'm so excited.
Oh, so good. It'll be so exciting to see where the season goes. When is the next game? Do you know?
I don't know.
Well, we will find out.
Yeah.
Yes, it's going to be so exciting. Well, what else is going on in November?
In November?
Well, I mean, I don't know, in life. Anything you want to chat about? It's November. Anything you're watching? I was telling Lee the other day at lunch with our team as well. I was like, Lee, I watched a movie the other day from 2016 that popped up on Netflix. So if you're looking for a fun action-y movie that's kind of in the same vein as like the Bourne trilogy or whatever, I watched The Take.
Who's in that?
Idris Elba.
Oh, I need to watch that. The Take.
The Take with Idris Elba.
Send me a text on that so I won't forget.
All I'm going to send you is The Take.
Well, I know what it means.
Okay. I watched that the other day.
Watched, and I told you to watch it because I saw it in the theaters and it popped up. And I thought, I'll watch this again, is The Lost City.
Oh.
Sandra Bullock.
Yep.
Channing Tatum. And Brad Pitt.
Oh, the trio.
It's good. It's not great, but it's good.
It's a romantic comedy,
yeah,
but
it's
action,
a
right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit of that. And Daniel Radcliffe as the Heavy.
Really?
He's the villain.
The Heavy. Sometimes a movie from a few years ago that you never saw, or at least in my case, I always feel like a lot of pressure to try to watch everything at one time. So I watched.
Wait a minute. Not The Take. The Tank.
The Take.
Oh, I thought you said The Tank the other day.
No.
The thing about Bastille Day.
Right.
I could have swore you said The Tank, T-A-N-K.
T-A-K-E.
Oh, well, that's different.
How is that different?
I thought Idris Elba was in a tank in Paris, and I thought, I can't wait to watch that.
There is no tank. It's The Take.
All right. Well, now I got to get a different mindset.
How could it be that different? You men are
Idris
so
Elba in a tank, rolling over stuff, blowing stuff up? Are you kidding me?
What?
Yes.
It's in modern day Paris. They don't exactly let a rogue CIA agent drive a tank in the
Maybe
middle of another country's
needed
capital
to
city.
Get a tank for something.
Well, he'll have to drive a Mercedes instead to get where he needs to go. Did you just try to correct me, though? You said, no, The Tank.
I thought that's what you said.
Well, listen up. How does that make it any different? You thought, when I mentioned
I thought it
to
was
you
so,
the other day,
yes, that's
you
why
never
I was so excited.
Tank.
I thought, The Tank.
That
Ooh.
Feels like a very World War I situation.
Well, then you said modern times, and I thought, well, what have they done here?
Oh,
this
Lee,
is
you're going to love it.
Innovative. I love it.
Uh-huh.
What?
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing.
You want to correct innovative?
No.
What do you want to say?
I want to say that Idris Elba is a hot piece of
No,
actor.
You want to correct me on the word innovative.
Lee, I don't want to.
Yeah, you do.
I don't.
Say it. Say, tell me how to properly pronounce innovative.
You've changed it yourself.
Innovative.
Oh, do not. No.
I said it right.
Okay. All right. So that's something I'm recommending, The Take. It was originally based, it was called Bastille Day when it came out, but there unfortunately was a real life actual terrorist attack.
On Bastille Day.
On Bastille Day. So they had to change the name, but it is called The Take. It is on Netflix now. Check it out. Yeah. And then you are watching what?
I watched Lost City.
Yes, Lost City.
I watched a wonderful 3-part documentary series about the Boston Red Sox. And their rivalry with the Yankees.
Okay.
You know about the curse.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Babe Ruth was traded to the Yankees.
The Bambino.
And since then, they hadn't won a World Series until we get to the year 2004.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't look like that was going to happen either.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a guy, I think his name is Brian Miller, who is sort of the heart and soul of the Red Sox.
Okay.
He's great. I love this. It is the thing I miss about team sports.
Mm-hmm.
It's the camaraderie and going to battle with your buddies
mm-hmm.
that I love so much. And they were almost swept. And you can see this in the documentary. I'm not really ruining it for you, but they were down 3-0
mm-hmm.
in the American League playoffs. So it's going to be another so close, but yet so far.
Yeah,
again.
You've made it there.
The
but
year before, they lost. They didn't get to the World Series because the Yankees beat them with an Aaron Boone walk-off grand slam. That's how the series ended.
Yikes.
So here they go again.
Yeah.
They somehow find their way back to Yankee Stadium. And Brian says, we're not going out on the field while they're doing all the Yankee tradition announcements and, you know, Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, Joe DiMaggio, Lou Gehrig. You know, they're naming all the great. And he goes, we're not doing that. He goes, I know where we can go. He takes the entire team in the bowels of Yankee Stadium where there's a trainer's office for the Yankees.
Okay.
And he goes in there because he knew that guy kept a bottle of Jack Daniels.
Oh.
And they all did shots.
Oh.
Before, in Gatorade cups before the game. We're doing shots. They win.
Oh, my gosh.
They win the game.
What? That's crazy.
And
I've
he
never
goes,
heard
and you know what we did the next day? We're not breaking tradition. We're going back and doing another shot.
Oh, my gosh.
And Poppy, Big Poppy, he was like, you know, they had to take the bottle because I would have done 2 shots.
Yeah.
And
there's this
one great story in the middle of the season when they're playing the Yankees. One of the Yankees pitcher accidentally, I think it's an accident, or maybe not, hits one of the Red Sox. And Pedro Martinez, who's their big stud, along with who was the guy with the bloody sock, Curt Schilling, comes over to the guy that got hit, and he says, "Who do you want? You want Jeter, or do you want who's J Lo's husband?
Oh, A-Rod.
You want Rodriguez? Who you want?" And he goes, "Jeter." "I got you." Throws at him. Boom. It's very mafia.
So oh, my gosh.
They hate each other.
Oh, yeah.
The Red Sox and the Yankees hate each other.
Oh, gosh.
And Pedro goes, "You touch one of my guys, I take out two of yours."
Oh.
I loved it. And Pedro's walking off the mound after he beamed like three guys, and he's pointing to his temple going, "You better think about it next time." Mm. He almost broke Jeter's hand.
Started out fun and games, and now it's sad and scary.
I was loving it.
I bet. Wow. Goodness. All right, hit us with the questions.
Okay, let's see who we got here. Let's start with, I just got this notification that my nephew's game is canceled for tomorrow. That's not a question, is it?
It's not.
All right. From Kelly, how do you prefer to decorate a Christmas tree? Basic ornaments or homemade ones?
Okay, I like basic ornaments. I like a really pretty tree. Mm. If I had room or the time to make multiple trees, I'd do. My mom always has like a home tree. When we were kids, it was always our home tree. It had all the ornaments we made. And then now, as we've gotten older, when I go to my parents' house, she has two trees. One that's like beautifully decorated, and the other, which is all, you know, sentimental ornaments and things we made as kids. So I just do the one tree. So it's kind of a mix of really pretty ornaments and then a few little homemade stuff.
I don't need ornaments.
Okay.
I just need lights.
You just like a lit up tree.
I like a white tree with lights. And it could be white lights. I don't even
need... white tree with white, like the plastic white, or a green tree with like the fake snow on it?
No, I don't like fake snow.
So you like a white tree
with
white lights.
White lights. That's all I need. I'm good. I don't need ornaments.
Nope.
Because I don't want to be putting that crap up.
I know. That's a thing. It's exhausting.
Hear it drop or something.
Yeah.
Then I got to go down and shoot somebody.
Mm.
There's nobody there.
You've just shot the tree.
Yeah. I would prefer just the white tree. I think those are just simple and beautiful.
It is pretty. Yeah, a little white tree with white lights.
Yeah, that's all I need. Hmm. I mean, I don't have that. I have nothing.
You're not a decorator.
Well, yeah. I mean, maybe I'll do it. I don't know, but I've not done it.
Yeah.
In a long time.
Mm-hmm. I like a green tree with the fake snow on it. Mm. I don't like tinsel.
Yeah,
it gets like everywhere tinsel. And it drives me nuts. Hate tinsel.
We used to do that with my mother. Put tinsel everywhere.
Oh, it's awful.
She brought back from the strip club, and I didn't want to put that up, but God bless.
Come here, Mom. You got some in your hair. Let me put it here on the tree.
That's not true. It's a joke. But I didn't care for that.
Mm-hmm.
I would always try to, when I was a kid helping my mother decorate the tree, I would always try to hide the lights.
Yeah, kind of shove them in there.
I wanted it to illuminate, but I didn't want to see the bulb.
Yeah, you don't want to see. You want to think
like
it might be on fire.
Yes, of a glow. I love a glow.
Yeah, you want to think it might be the burning bush.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm.
Take your sandals off, Moses.
That's right. And that's what you say when most people come into the home.
No, I want everybody to keep their shoes on. Well, women can take their shoes off. I don't care, but not dudes. What Nikita wants to know, what is your favorite Thanksgiving side? Now, the reason Nikita asked this, by the way, just so everyone knows, we're about to do a competition that we've done pretty much every year in the show's existence, I think, where the entire staff, including Haley, makes a Thanksgiving side, and then they bring it to me because I don't cook, and then I pick my favorite. It's a blind taste test. I don't know who's made what.
Yeah, you don't know who's made what. So not only you just you're guessing who made what, and you're also awarding a winner which one was the best.
Right. And Noah Day has won at least once or twice.
Yeah.
I think you won once, right? Maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe Nikita. I don't know.
I won our instant mashed potatoes competition.
Oh, that was a different competition.
That was based on Thanksgiving because Noah won with instant mashed potatoes, and we could not believe it.
Because he
He tricked you because he added a few other little zhuzhy to it.
Well, he put a ton of salt and butter in there.
He did.
And that's the key to
So we were all so mad that he won. So then, like, the next week, we did an instant mashed potatoes competition. Who could make the best instant mashed potatoes?
Yeah,
and I won that.
Because you put more salt and butter in
there. I did. I put cream cheese. I did
all
the whole thing.
Oh, the way to my clogged heart.
That's right.
But this way we do it now, I selected six sides. And I love all of these, so any of them could win, depending on what happens that day. It's green beans, it's coleslaw, it's mashed potatoes and gravy, it's mac and cheese, it's broccoli casserole, and what am I leaving out?
Corn pudding?
Corn pudding.
Did you do a corn pudding? Yeah,
yes.
Lee got to write down his six favorites, and now we're all going to make them. I'm trying to envision what I go back for. I love broccoli casserole.
But Nikita is so competitive, and she wants to win this. That's why she's asked this question, to see if she has a legitimate chance at this.
Oh, like if you say the thing that
she's
got to
making,
make. Because we drew them at lunch today, who's going to make what. So I have in my mind right now what it is that I have to make.
Mm-hmm.
I love broccoli casserole. I love dressing with brown gravy on it.
I forgot about dressing. I love dressing.
Yeah, I love dressing with brown gravy on it, and then I like a little bit of cranberry sauce in there as well.
I'm telling you, if the numbers worked out, you wouldn't allow me to put chicken and dumplings in as a side.
It's not a side.
It is a side.
It's not a side.
It can be a side.
Your
Cracker Barrel considers
it a side.
A pain in
my side.
Cracker Barrel doesn't do it as a main.
It's a main.
They don't?
And dumplings is a main.
You can get it as a side.
Well, I guess I'll order a whole chicken as a side. And I'll have a T-bone steak as a side.
If Kelly had drawn that from the taste test I had the other day, there's no way you guys would have beat her. She took me. Peter O'Toole in Ratatouille.
You are O'Toole.
It took me right back to my childhood with Granny Fawkes. That's what that tasted like.
Well, how about after this, we have a chicken and dumplings cook-off.
Well, Kelly's going to win.
Good. So
I may make Kelly a judge.
Let's tell Kelly, we're going to do a chicken and dumplings
cook-off. Because it's not fair.
And then she just makes it, and we all are like, oh, we forgot.
No, I don't think Kelly should be in that competition. That'd be like you guys playing basketball against Jordan or something.
I thought you were going to say against you.
No. I will have Kelly assist me in judging.
She could be the judge while the rest of us vie for the award.
Yes.
I like that. Okay. So
she could be my tiebreaker.
She could. Okay. So a couple of sides. I like sweet potato casserole. I love mashed potato. Oh, I love mashed. I like to kind of get a bite of all of them at the same time. So it's really hard for me. But a nice break for me, it's crucial to the palate cleansing and the whole experience, is a deviled egg. Because it's cold and it's mustardy and it kind of breaks up the everything else for me.
I like that. Yeah, that is
it's like a nice little bite right in the middle where it's like, all right.
It's a palate cleanser.
It is. What do you prefer, ham or turkey?
Well, if it's deep fried Cajun style, I'll say turkey because it's moist.
Mm-hmm.
But probably ham.
I love ham. A honey baked ham.
Yeah. It's good. So I don't want a dry turkey.
Flavorless. It's got
flavorless.
That's the thing about deep fried. It's got so much flavor.
Now, it makes a great sandwich the next day with a lot of mayo.
Of course.
But yes, I'll take ham over turkey unless it's deep fried and it's injected with Cajun butter.
Mm-hmm.
Then my God, that's good.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that's it. We've straddled this one to death.
I thought you said you sent us some viewer questions.
Oh, I sent it to you.
Oh, I have you blocked.
Thought I emailed it to you.
Oh.
Yeah, let's get to that guy's question. Oh, I know who it was, too. Oh, this is a good one. Let me read it. Let me find it.
You do it.
Where is it? I sent it to you, I believe. Here it is. Oh, this is a good one, I think. Well, this comes from Ruthie B. We got a couple of these.
Hi, Ruthie.
And Ruthie writes, would you rather be attacked by a big bear or a swarm of bees?
Like they're making contact. They're not just running at me and I'm trying to defend myself.
I guess you're being stung by a swarm of them. If you're allergic, it'll kill you.
I'm not allergic. I'm going to say bees because I like to think I can make it somewhere that could shoot me with an EpiPen and I'll survive. A bear, I don't see myself being alive. I feel like I would get so afraid I would die right there. So for me, it's a bee. What about you?
It's going to be bees.
Yeah.
I mean, a bear, you're dead.
Yeah.
There's no way that works.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a guy feed. I was showing it to my buddy the other day. He was feeding a grizzly bear. The bear was between his legs. You've heard this before. And he's feeding him like apples or something.
Yeah, sure.
It's a grizzly. It's not a not a black bear. It's a grizzly. And this guy's just playing with his life. What a moron.
It's crazy. Okay, next question, and then we'll wrap.
I'm looking for it. I can't. I'm hoping you'd help me find it. I sent it to you. I know I did.
People.
No, that's not it. It was from our friend Matt Ripito. Did you not get that? Did I not send it to you?
No.
It was a good one. It was one of those head scratchers.
Well, we will find it, and we will report back. Listen in each and every week, okay, and then send your questions, ideas, queries, whatever, to ideas@leeandhaley.com. Thank you, Ruthie, for this week's viewer or listener question. We'll get to our buddy Matt's question when Lee can find it. And then I think we got another question as well, but we are out of time. We got to get ready for our TV show.
Oh, yeah.
Another lady that submitted a question.
Found it!
Okay. Real quick, we got to get rocking.
From our buddy Matt.
Hello, Matt.
Who listens to us. Down in
Savannah, Georgia.
Okay. Here's what he says. About 10 years ago, Chrissy and I were lost in South Carolina trying to find a particular dog-friendly beach. We ended up on a back road with a railroad crossing that was about 30 yards before the intersection of the main highway we were about to turn onto. The crossing had no gate or caution lights, just the vehicle road intersecting the railroad. We crossed the tracks and stopped at the highway intersection where, while waiting on traffic in order to turn, I looked in the rearview mirror and saw a train barreling down the tracks that we had just crossed maybe 30 seconds prior. Keep in mind that we were lost, probably bickering at each other, and I'm almost certain I didn't look both ways before driving over those tracks. I'm almost certain that if I had, I would have seen a train very close approaching at high speed. I think about this from time to time, and it gives me an indescribable amount of anxiety knowing that we were very close to being the top story of an unknown number of news stations that day. All that backstory to frame my question. Has there ever been a time that you feel like that you've cheated death? It's a good question, Matt.
Wow.
When have you cheated death?
There is one particular moment that comes to mind that gives me chills if I think about it too much. Mm. This one time about 12 years ago, I was living in Knoxville, Tennessee, working in news, and I was in my early 20s, and I was out with a bunch of friends at a bar, and I was tired because I worked weird news shift, and I wanted to go home earlier than everybody else. So my friend, this was still at like 2 a.m, and they all still wanted to stay. And I was like, well, I'm going to go on back. So my friend that had driven us was like, well, here's my keys. You drive, we'll all get a taxi or what back. Well, I'm walking from the bar to the parking garage where we were parked. And I, against my better judgment, I took a shortcut down, not a dodgy part of the downtown area, but a part I knew I should not have walked on because I'd done enough news stories in that area. But I was tired. I just wanted to get to the car. And I passed some people that looked like ne'er-do-wells, but I just keep going.
Yes.
And as I'm doing it, I feel this like I should not have done that. I was like, well, I'm going to get robbed. I just knew it. Like, I had this really bad feeling.
You knew right away these were Methodists.
This was a mistake. Oh. I should not have. No. Yeah. I just knew I should not have walked down this street. I should have, when I saw those people turn around and walk the other way. I just was walking fast and thinking, I'm just going to go. Well, 30 seconds later, a girl about my age, I turn and this guy is following me. And pardon me, I was like, well, now I've shit in church. And I'm just like, well, this is it. I turn back around and I start to pick up the pace. Well, he picks up the pace. And then this girl, all of a sudden, this car pulls up next to me. And it's a girl I don't know. I'd never seen her before, never seen her again, in an SUV. Pulls up next to me, looks kind of like me. Nice car, rolls down the window and says, get in the car. And I was like, what? She was like, get in the car. That guy's following you. You get in the car with me. And I was like, oh, okay. And I just get in the car with this girl.
Mm-hmm. She could have been working with him.
Well, yeah. But anyway, she just says, I was turning on this street to go home and I saw you walking this way and I saw those people. And then as soon as you walked by, they had a conversation and he started following you. And I just, I can't. I don't know. So we just drive up and she drives me to the car. I get out of the car. I thank her. She says the same thing. Just a total God moment. She was supposed to be there. If she had not been there, I was going to get robbed and possibly worse. So anyway, I think about that girl sometimes and why she was there. And yeah. So I told my friends when they got back, and it was way scarier in the moment. Trying to explain it to people it doesn't even sound as scary as it was. But anyway, I just thank that girl and for God putting her there, because who knows what could have happened. You know, getting robbed, you know, is horrible, but it could have been worse. And I'm just very thankful.
Never will forget one night I was lonely and I saw a girl walk by me and I wanted to talk to her desperately.
Okay. Yeah.
And I almost got run over by an SUV.
Oh, no.
Yes. I mean, this close.
This close.
It clipped me, actually. Mm. Some crazy woman driver knocked me over as I was approaching this young lady to say hello.
Say hello.
I'm tired of straddling my own pillow.
Could I straddle yours?
No. So they could have a conversation with you. I don't know what ever happened to that girl.
I don't know.
But that's my story.
Well, all right, guys. This has been another episode of Lee and Haley Overtime. Thanks so much for listening, watching. If you want to watch the video version on the Kentucky Sports Radio YouTube channel, listen wherever you get your podcast. Please rate, review, subscribe. We certainly appreciate it. Tune into the Lee and Haley Show. Our TV show airs weekdays at noon in our home market of Lexington, Kentucky, channel Fox 56. Follow us on social media as well. Just search Lee and Haley. Don't walk down dark alleys by yourself at 2 in the morning unless you have a little guardian angel who's a precious girl in a Toyota Highlander. I've always said that. We love you. God loves you. Hang in there. See you next time.